Hey, you like making money? Because here's a really cool opportunity I'm going to share with you. It's called driving with Uber. Everyone knows Uber. Uber is a great way to be able to drink alcohol and be picked up in class and not get a DUI. Uber is a popular smartphone app that connects riders and drivers. I take Uber a bunch. I love them. My last Uber driver barely spoke English, but I learned a lot about Egypt simply by his body language. I chat with a lot of drivers. Some of them have really interesting stories, and I love when people come together. People like being their own boss. It's kind of like being a comedian, except more stable. They earn great money. You don't have to tip them. There's no awkward tip moment, which is my favorite part, because a lot of times I don't have cash. It's easy to start. All you need is a car and a license. Parents, this is a really easy way to work around your family schedule. Bring a baby. You could bring a baby in an Uber car. I wouldn't judge that. Students, you can make some extra money between classes and meet some people. Now is the prime time to cash in on driving with Uber. You'll thank me for telling you how to get paid every week. You got a car and a license, put them together and start driving. It's life-changing money. Sign up. Uber. That's uber.com, Uber. For those of you that don't know how to spell phonetically. I don't know how to spell either. Don't feel bad about it. The word restaurant and disease, both of them freak me out. DE or DI and disease, decease. I can't tell. All I'm saying is sign up with Uber. It's also a great way to find out where you are if you had an unexpected rendezvous with a sexual partner. And so let's get into the podcast. All right. Hello. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh, a podcast where a comedian gets way too analytical over why jokes work or do not work with actual clips. Let's jump right into it because I have an unbelievable guest today, but I want to analyze something and maybe she can help me with it. I was on stage the other day at the Ice House and I just started kind of rambling about how hard it is to make friends. And I think there's some gold in this quip. I also think there's some loose ends. There's some sadness. And I have to figure out how to tighten it up. I'm trying to make more friends. It's weird. I was always good at making friends. And then you become older, you get in your 30s, and it's harder because nothing's new. Like, you know, back in the day, they're like, what's new? You're like, I can drive, or like, I can drink. Now it's just like, it's just me now. Like what do you mean, what's new? This is it. And I don't understand humor, really. And it's crazy because I'm a comedian. It's like a lot of people, I don't know if I just don't know comedy or people just are not funny, but like this one dude was like, what do you do for a living? I was at a bar. I was like meeting some bros. And he goes, I was like, I'm a comedian. And the guy goes, ah, oh, me too. And I was like, no way. And then he's like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm like, what's the joke? Like, I don't understand. And then he's like, I'm just being sarcastic. I'm like, no, that's just fucking lying. Like, that's not sarcasm. Sarcasm is when something's obviously not true. Like, Kristen Stewart's a great actress. You know, you're like it's a joke. Like, it's clearly not true. But like when you're like, my favorite color is blue, ah, it's red. It's like that's you're just lying. And who the fuck doesn't trust people? Like, how is it a joke to do what I do? He said, I'm a comedian. It's like, yeah, that's a good job. Like, I do that. But like if someone was like, my name's fucking Kris Kringle, I'm from the North Pole, I'd be like, how crazy is that? Like, I wouldn't think they were joking. Because how much of a dick would you be if you're like, ah, and they're like, yeah, people always laugh. Like, just trust people. I don't understand why people don't trust each other. Like, sometimes I'll be at a crosswalk, and someone will come over and press the button. Like, I didn't fucking press it. And I'll call them out on that. I don't give a fuck. I'm 6'7". I'm very intimidating. Like, someone comes over, and they probably, I'm like, you don't think I did that? You really don't think, hey bro, what do you mean? You don't think I, like, do you think I fucking don't know about those? I was thinking. All right, so that's a bit I've been working on. There's some definite sadness in there. Like, there were some moments where you're like, you can almost hear the crowd be like, aw. Because I was like, well, before we keep going, I'm going to introduce my guest, Jessie Mae Peluso, straight out of Syracuse, New York.
Yeah, classy. Classy place.
That's where I'm also from. Where
we got out, though.
We did get out. But do we ever really get out?
No, we never get out.
The Baldwin brothers are from there.
They are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Their mom is at the state fair every year.
Is she really?
Yep. She does the breast cancer tent.
Wow. Yeah, are they from Baldwinsville?
I think they're from Baldwinsville. And then somebody else who did one of the cartoons, one of the famous funny cartoons. What's his name? SpongeBob. The voice of SpongeBob.
No way.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Or Blue's Clues. One of those.
What's his name also from there?
Look at us. We're trying to find people who've succeeded in life. From our hometown.
Dude, how about this? I'm from such a podunk area that I have to say Syracuse when referring to a place 40 miles north. I mean, that's just a whole different level. It's like, oh, there's 3 nuke plants, 10,000 people.
Yeah, that's literally where we were born, around nuclear plants. We have the dirtiest lake in the country. It's like one of the...
Which one's the dirtiest? Onondaga?
Onondaga is like one of the dirtiest lakes in the country.
Yeah, it's filthy.
It's filthy.
What was it? Acme Chemicals?
All the chemicals. All the industrial places were around the lake, and they dumped their byproduct into the lake. Like, oh, this will be fine in 50 years.
I wonder if they had the same scientists that are against global warming that were like, no, chemicals are good for fish.
Yeah, no, fish like chemicals.
No, they love it.
How do you think they get the iridescent glow on their scales?
Yeah, that was a Oswego thing. We used to swim near the plants because it was warmer.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Where? What lake?
Lake Ontario.
Oh my God, that's so gross.
Yeah.
That's no wonder you have that like serial killer look in your eye all the time.
You always think I look like a serial killer.
You have that look like you are thinking something so wrong on the other side of your brain. It's like you focus on one side of somebody's face and I feel like you're having a conversation, but inside your brain you're unlocking your shed in the backyard and thinking about what tool you're going to use.
I'm reliving Oswego like traumatic moments. Where I'm like smiling and nodding in my head. I'm like, I wonder if I'm going to fucking die today.
We're dark. We're both kind of dark.
Yeah, but we're happy people though.
Are we?
Yeah. We laugh a lot.
We do.
Yeah, and way over here, we had some big laughs.
Because I think our sensibilities are very similar.
Yeah, I think that from where we're from, you laugh. You're given a choice. It's like the Matrix. Like, you laugh or you cry. And if you cry, it freezes to your face.
It's true. I wonder if crying causes as many wrinkles as laughing, because I'm just going to switch it up if it doesn't.
No, laughing's really good for your face.
Are you sure?
I'm 100%.
I don't think so, because I was thinking about this and I was tweeting about it. You know Cate Blanchett?
Yes.
She's timeless. Nobody knows how old she is.
Right.
And I wanted to know why, because she's been around for a while. And so I Googled her face. She never smiles.
But I feel like that's not a scientific study.
It is. I just did it myself.
That's like
really
shooting an arrow. You're shooting an arrow and drawing a bullseye around it after.
I would appreciate if you took some serious thought to my clinical study that I did.
But how about what's her name who's timeless, who always wins the Oscars, who was in like Doubt and all those movies?
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep doesn't age, and she's constantly smiling.
She does a clenched smile, which I like to call a controlled smile, which reduces your facial movements as well. Tilda Swinton.
I wonder if she has controlled orgasms. if it's like she never shows joy,
she probably can fake them all the time. Nobody will ever know.
Oh, that's a good point.
Meryl Streep probably has the best fake orgasms.
But Meryl Streep is aged. She's almost better looking now than she was when she was like 30.
Well, I think it's also because of the era. Everybody was ugly then.
Interesting.
You think about like the 80s. The hair, the pants, nothing was looking good in the 80s, 70s.
Right.
It was all a hot mess. Once we started like weed whacking away at all the fabric and hair, we really saw who we really were.
But there were like the dudes were really chiseled. Was that cocaine? Like, because every dude, you like look at Warrant or Whitesnake or any of these old bands, it's like even the bass player just looks shredded.
Was that cocaine?
I think it was just a high metabolism from
Coke. I think so. Yeah, definitely a high from Coke. Your body is just like getting rid of all of your calories from the high Coke.
Yeah, now we have 5-hour energy. They had 300-hour energy.
Have you ever done drugs?
Kind of. I've done Coke maybe 4 times total.
Really?
Yeah.
You strike me. Well, I guess maybe not. I would think you'd like to have like control. over yeah. your brain.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, is Coke didn't do it for me. I think occasionally Adderall I like, and that's only because it doesn't seem like a drug to me. It seems like that pill from that Limitless.
Is it Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, like I literally could take an Adderall and teach myself a Beethoven song. It doesn't.
Really? It does. What does it do? Does it block out like stimuli or something?
Well, I think I do have ADHD because it was from a doctor. But I don't want to be an Adderall guy because it makes you a little preachy. Like you kind of become.
You already are a little preachy,
right? So yeah, my dad's literally a rhetoric professor. So I was raised by someone. I was born on a soapbox. Like facts. So with Adderall, I would be the guy that would be like, "Let me tell you something about kangaroos." Like, I just can't stop spewing fucking bullshit.
Let me ask you a question. When you got mad at me on text message, was that because you were on Adderall as well?
Remember maybe.
We've been trying to do a podcast together forever, and you told me...
Well, I think that in person, it wouldn't have sounded harsh. I had the same thing with Justin one day. Like, I texted him, so I'm like, bro, come on, man. And he was like, why are you being a dick? I'm like, in person, you'd laugh at this. Like, I think my speech pattern... I think I naturally say kind of intense shit sometimes. But
I was
no.
like, stop yelling at me
via
text.
But in person, you would have been like, oh, yeah, let's just do that then.
Yeah.
Because I think text messages make my speech, like what I say, sound fucking crazy.
I think so for me, too. Everyone thinks I'm being mad. It's like, no, didn't you see like the cute face I put? I also put an emoticon in there.
You got to end it with like
you
a ha-ha.
Or an LOL.
Because that shows that like what you're saying isn't to be said with a furrowed eyebrow.
Right. It's in jest.
Yeah. That's why I think Botox people, they run into problems because they can't make certain facial expressions.
Yeah. They overdo it with the Botox.
I read something that a couple got divorced because he no longer felt his wife loved him because she didn't have micro expressions anymore of love. And so instinctively was like, there's something wrong. And it was because she was trying to make him happy with Botox.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was kind of a tragic story.
I don't want to be alive in this generation. It makes me so sad.
I get freaked out. That's why I try to focus on the good. Like Facebook and stuff. I mean, half my podcasts are dedicated to the outrage algorithm of Facebook.
It's ridiculous.
Like I almost have to have these opinions just to get, like I would post like, come see me at the Funny Bone, and it'd be like seen by 300 people, and there's like thousands of people following me that will never even see it because not enough people have hit the like button. And then I'll just be like, someone fingered a dolphin off the shore, and it's like 50,000 people saw your post. And it's
fingered
like,
and dolphin, those are keywords.
Yeah, finger, dolphin,
and baby. If you hashtag. Throw those things in there, everyone will see it.
So what do you, let's analyze my joke that was kind of sad. Do you have any,
I don't think it was sad.
Well, I think the thing to make it better is, I shouldn't start off with I'm having a hard time making friends. I don't know.
Well, I think that's besides the point of the joke.
Right.
I don't think the point of the joke is that you're having a hard time making friends. I think the point of the joke is shit gets dull as you get older.
It does. So, why is that? Why do you think this is?
But I think it's exactly what you say because nothing's new.
Right.
And so maybe there's an angle you can play with trying to find the new thing in really mundane stuff, like being excited about mayonnaise again.
Yeah.
Or like being excited.
But that's
about...
why we drink, is to become dumb enough to be excited.
Well, then that you can put that into the joke as well.
Yeah, that's why I used to be jealous of people with Down syndrome. And I stopped doing this joke because everything got so PC. But it's true. Like my brother will teach high needs kids and they're like, no way. Crayons. And they just feel this joy that I don't feel. I mean, and I think I'm pretty childlike, and I still can't feel that way.
Because we lose, the thing is, you know, it's like that childhood awe, that like wonderment you have as a kid because everything's so new, and we lose that exactly because of what you say. Experience dulls us to reactions to things because we're used to stuff.
Yeah, it's like your record gets pressed where the grooves are there.
Yeah.
And you almost like know your reactions.
You know your reaction. And it's you build up a tolerance. The same thing when you drink, you don't get as drunk because your body's like, oh, another tequila, 10 a.m., woo, shock us with something else. That's why you have to do like a shot of tequila 8 a.m. instead of 10 a.m. to shock your system.
That's why I didn't get into cocaine, because I would have kept escalating. I would have been like, oh, you like pour some sugar on me? Well, how about this tune? Like, that's why I love when they would sing ballads, because you knew the dark place they were in. Like, every rose has its thorn. Like, they're jamming to, like, Look What the Cat Dragged In and all these crazy, like, Smoking in the Boys' Room. And then at one point, Poison was like, fuck. And then they're just singing about every rose having a thorn.
Crying.
Do you remember White Lion? Did you ever get into all this shit? 80s hair band?
I did a little bit because the people I babysat for across the street were way into 80s hair bands. And they're also into Coke and all this stuff. So they took me to concerts and shit. So, yeah.
I mean, I used to open for Nick Swardson, and we played that as his intro music once, When the Children Cry. It's the saddest, dumbest, sad song.
He would come out to that?
Yeah, I'd be like, when the children cry, let them know we tried. It's like so, and I'd be like, you've seen him in Grandma's Boy.
Kids?
You've seen him in Bench Warmers. He plays Terry on Reno 911. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Swardson. I'd be like, no more presidents and all the wars will end. And I re-listen to the lyrics, and they're so and the lyrics are so dumb, though. It's literally just like, no more presidents and all the war will end. One united world under God. Think of that contradiction. So now we're assuming it's his God. We already started a war. In one sense, it's like one united world under God. Okay, which God, asshole? Like, now you just started a war.
Oh, my God. He'd come out to that song? That's ballsy.
Oh, yeah. Because
That's pretty great.
Because when we do, like, 30 shows in a week, that makes no mathematical sense.
I mean, you could.
10. But we would just get so, not bored, but, like, kind of like, let's do something fucking weird tonight.
Yeah, sometimes you have to get really weird.
You do.
Getting weird is fun.
Do you ever feel that when you do too much stand-up, you get like that?
Like, bored?
Well, you just start making fun of making fun.
Yes.
It's a weird hall of mirrors.
Yeah, it's almost like you go on stage, and after you've been doing, like last year I did, I think, 43 weekends on the road, and towards the end, I went on stage, and I wasn't numb, but I felt like I knew my set so well that I could exist above and below it, and I knew how to get back to it, so it made me go in weird, weird places.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've almost spiraled sometimes and been like, oh, you want to hear traffic jokes? Is that what you want? Where it's almost like Dirk Diggler, where it's like, you just want the big dick?
Yeah.
Is that what you want? Like when he spirals in Boogie Nights? I'm not just a big dick, Jack. Where you're like, oh, let me guess, you want to hear piano and jokes about being tall, but I want to talk about race. And everyone's like, Jesus, guy. Yeah, and I think another thing of that joke that I have to do is I have to make all the examples different and better. I think higher stakes.
What do you mean? Like examples? Well, I think
how sarcasm, if you're not part of the group, is a lie. I think there's something really good there.
There is something really good there. The examples you give when you are saying, like, when you're younger, the milestones you pass, I think those are pertinent because that's where you can switch it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when you're like, you know, there's exciting things when you're a kid. You know, you have this, you can get your license.
Yeah.
You have sex for the first time. Imagine, you know how many times I've had sex?
Yeah.
Like it's not fun anymore. I know where the hole is. I miss not knowing what hole.
Yeah, you almost get excited not having sex.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I didn't have to fuck tonight.
We not fucked all night.
We not fucked. It was crazy. No, there's nothing expected of me or my penis.
She not fucked me so hard.
I got so not fucked last night. Yeah, like what's
that's
like?
That's funny.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah.
And then what about like milestones you can make up where it's like, I can't wait to be 36 because then I can, I don't know, I'll figure out. And then also like sarcasm where it's like, because I use Kristen Stewart's a good actress. That's kind of mean for no reason.
Why can't I think of Kristen Stewart?
She's a Twilight chick. I hated Twilight for so long.
She always makes that.
The face.
She just does the face.
Like that she doesn't want to be there. Well, then fucking don't be there.
I actually watched Twilight, just a couple minutes of it. And I look through everything when I'm watching the movie. Like I look for mistakes. And there's this one scene where she's tapping her leg.
Right.
Tapping her leg like you would if you're waiting in a doctor's room waiting to hear if you have AIDS or not. And
yeah.
She knows that she has it. Like that sort of leg tap.
She for sure has AIDS. By the way, how is that your go-to example of leg tap? Like, you know that tap when you know you have AIDS.
Because I have a horribly dark mind.
That's so... I love AIDS references. I'm so glad you're like that too. What's wrong with us? Is it where we're from? Because people seriously, I have the same problem. Like I'll just be like, oh yeah, like full-blown AIDS. And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't know. I think it has to do with the core of your joke. Nothing shocks us anymore, and we have to shock ourselves we have to go to like the depths of darkness to shock ourselves. And
yeah,
what shocks us is heightened for normal people. Like we're like, oh, AIDS, whatever, and everyone else, like, they're clenching their buttholes because it's like, you know, number 10 on the shock collar list. It feels like one to us, but it's like to them.
When I first moved out here in like 2004, I remember I was at some house party and some kid like was being a dick to the guy who owned the house. And everyone was like, what's up with this guy? Like, he keeps like offending every. So I fucking take him outside. I take his pants off and I make him walk down the hill. Cause I'm not like, I don't have an instinct of like bashing someone's face in, but I wanted to dominate this guy. So I make him walk down the hill with his pants off, and I peed on his car in front of the whole party. And people talked about it for literally like years. They're like, dude, remember? I'm like, bro, that's just like upstate. That's like a Tuesday. Are you like, that's not like my first day at kindergarten. Someone peed in my
Rolling
shoes.
Up on yeah. a Tuesday.
What? Yeah. It's almost, is it the winters? Is it because it's so
it's
cold?
The winters. My father, I stay away from him come February because the winter has been there since May. And he is homicidal. He gets so angry. That winter depression runs deep into your bone marrow in upstate New York.
Oh, my God.
And it's you don't know it unless you grew up in it. I remember coming out of my house, and we have stairs that go down to, like, the ground level, and snow being above the stairs. So that was, like, 4 or 5 feet of snow.
Yeah, your dog would just run over your fence.
My dog would literally run out of the...
Because Wayne Mahar told us it was coming, now.
Wayne Mahar is our local weather guy who Owen and I both had a crush on.
Yeah. I looked up to him as like a father figure.
I looked up to him as just I was in love with him figure.
Yeah.
And when I saw you for the first time, when you did Syracuse a few years ago, for Thanksgiving, the thing that made me laugh so hard, because Wayne Mahar is like a local celebrity in Syracuse, New York. Wayne, if you're listening, we love you.
Love you, Wayne.
I love you more, Wayne. Always remember. Never forget. But you said on stage that Wayne Mahar brutally attacked you.
Well, yeah, because
you
it
were
was
brutally attacked by Wayne Mahar. Wayne Mahar. Yeah. And I'll never forget that. And I even text that to you once in a while.
Because, I mean, like, for those of you that don't know Wayne Mahar, he's the last person that would brutally attack. He's, like, so gentle.
So he's an advocate for animal adoption. He's had a cat for RIP, Doppler Radar. That was the cat's name, Doppler, and the cat died. But he's a big animal lover. He's a big dude, though. He's, like, very, like, he looks like a Viking.
Yeah, big jaw.
Big bone structure, plays hockey.
Yeah.
Gentle giant.
Yeah, and really good. He started his own weather company when he was like a little kid.
Yeah, and he does weather for famous people. Like, he does weather projections for people who are going on vacation. They want to know in 2 weeks what it's going to be like in Honolulu.
Now that's fucking money.
Wayne Mahar.
Yeah, that's an entourage. That's a white entourage.
That's like,
where it's like rappers are like, yeah, I got all these bodyguards. White people are like, I got 4 meteorologists. I got Mahar. I got Roker. I got Roker on speed dial.
I got
dial.
Peter Hall.
Yeah, that's. I would pay Mahar. How much would you?
That's so funny. I wish that joke could work all over, because that is so funny.
You could just
funny.
Explain to someone about like being a private weatherman.
That is so funny.
A meteorologist. It's like you
that's
got
white money.
That's white. That's white baller money. Yeah, because it's like.
I got 4 meteorologists.
I got 4 meteorologists working. Yeah, but it's like there's an app on your phone that'll do it immediately.
I'm going to Costa Rica in 4 weeks, son. You gonna get that weather report? I don't think so. Like, I got Wayne Mahar on the speed.
Motherfucker, I hate turbulence. Be like, I don't want to fly if there's pockets of cool air. Be like, fuck. Then I know I have to switch to 747, yo.
Do you know, Wayne and I text once in a while, and I'll like, he'll be like, where are you in the country? He knows my schedule. He's like, how's Chicago? How's this? And he'll give me like weather reports. He'd be like, be careful, bring a jacket. There's going to be.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
I'll occasionally get a fave from Wayne, and it's always like, you know, I'll do some like weird dark tweeting or just jokes or just like about what I'm doing. Anytime it's something positive, Wayne will just sneak in with a fave.
He does a fave.
Yeah, when it's like, hey, my dog is like really awesome, and I'll just see a Wayne fave.
Yeah, Wayne fave. Wayne, big ups from Wayne.
Because he will never fave, even if something's really funny, but if it's like kind of dark, he's like, even if he chuckles, he can't be associated with that.
No, he can't. He's got to keep his slate clean.
Yeah.
He's got to keep his weather.
And we both promoted from the weather deck.
We both, listen, I made that dream come true for you. You're welcome.
No, you really did.
I told Wayne Mahar.
You literally paved the way.
I paved the way, and I included you in the dream.
Yeah.
I didn't keep it selfish. I was like, Owen would really love this. You need to have Owen on the weather deck. And the weather deck is where Wayne Mahar goes. That's like his bread and butter, his little spot where he invented it. He invented the weather deck.
Yeah.
And he does the weather from outside because he's a real man.
And it's like he wears a very thin jacket. I think
he don't care. He doesn't. The weather doesn't affect Wayne Mahar.
Do you think he's Viking blood? Do you think he has that Viking blood?
I said that to him. He's Nordic for sure. Mahar is just a cover.
And I think I actually have a clip. I think it's called Quit.
The Quit clip?
No, but it's about Nordic people. The only reason I'm rolling this is really short, but I think that everything is cultural. Like, I'm so not racist that I sound racist. I know that usually is said by racists, but it's like they used to be the most violent people on the fucking planet.
Vikings?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, that's why I'm a giant. But it's like, and then it all changed with culture. I think a lot of it has to do with how people treat women. Like, cultures that shame women and make women evil always end up going to fucking war and killing each other.
Yeah.
I think that's the litmus test. And I was trying to work on it. This bit's really short. I emailed it to them. I didn't think I was going to use it, but it's kind of perfect. Where it's like, you can hear the crowd do what I'm saying to be scared of. Does that make sense? You want to just play this real quick?
It's true. This is fucked up. I mean, I'm Scandinavian. Those dudes are Vikings. They used to row their boats like 1,000 miles and just fuck a village and take all their shit, and then they discovered chocolate steam rooms and fucking blowjobs. They haven't been to war in 500 years. Nothing is genetic, it's all culture. So you gotta make sure that women are never oppressed. If you see women where it's like women aren't allowed, get canned goods, war's coming. As soon as you fucking make quits bad, you're dead. Quits are good. So you guys are fucked. You see what just happened? It's like, did you just say quit? Yeah, quit. Quit. Quit, quit, quit. Quit.
Yeah, that's
quits are good.
Quits are good. But you heard them.
There's something to that, though. So you're basically saying, like, if the women are oppressed and there's any weak link in the thread of the women as far as how they're treated in your culture, that you're going to be dominated by the Vikings.
Yeah, exactly. It's like one day I was looking at porn clips and I noticed how
one day
how much more positive their comments are. Like a porn clip, literally the comments, you think that they're chauvinistic and crazy. They're literally like, great scene.
And then but who's porn? Just a general porn
clip? Just like YouPorn. Like, if you go on YouPorn, you just look on a clip.
You're reading the comments?
Well, I was just like curious. Because I remember I
didn't even know there were comments.
Because they're just loaded with comments. The thing that always made me laugh was there's a link to like Twitter and Facebook. I literally was having a non-session porn session one day.
You were just studying?
I was just researching. Yeah. And
a link to what? Where does the Twitter thing take you to?
To your Twitter. Like, you can, if you're like, oh, this is a great video, I'm going to tweet this. I'm like, who the fuck does that?
Yeah, that's like, you can't promote. What are you promoting? Isn't porn just like, there's no level, it's just porn.
Right.
I like the percentages, though. Do you see like the percentages? Like, it's like 75% think this is great.
It's a thumbs up.
Yeah, I like how more people like will decide what's a good porno than like movies.
Oh, I know.
Real movies.
And they're like, they don't really attack the women. Like, you'll see clips, you'll see comments, and it's like, wow, that was hot. I'm going to watch it again. Like, does anyone have a name of the neighbor? And then you go on YouTube and it's like a 5-year-old playing Bach and it's like, fuck you, Obama. Like, everyone's so like jacked up.
Everyone's got their opinions are totally like where they place their opinions. It's all messed up.
And it's because of sexual oppression. Like, I do another thing for these guys for Sideshow called Rabbit Hole, where I will do songs where I go down like non-porn rabbit holes on the internet, where I just start learning something and go crazy. And one of them was porn searches by country. And it's like Iran, most of them are gay. Like, the
pornos?
Number one. Yeah. And it's like, for the countries that say there's no gay people, the number one search is like gay fuck.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And then you go to like Sweden and Norway, it's all like MILF or like.
Because you know how hot they are?
Well, and also MILF, usually the woman is more in a dominant position where it's like they're the ones fucking the dude, where it's like, hey, Tommy, why don't you come over? Versus like
Tommy.
Versus like more of the creepy countries. It's like teen
America.
Abused.
Teen, you know, stepdad.
Right. Where it's like
America. But if you looked up America, it would just be stepdad bangs daughter.
Bangs. Yeah. Those are always so weird. It's like
weird.
So weird.
When you get into the real niche, like the category, when the more specific it gets, I just guarantee that's all in America.
Yeah, or anywhere where there's like a very puritanical vibe, where you want to see a woman being just completely dominant. And then you go to the more peaceful the country, the more it's like, be like, masturbation on beach versus like, gangbang gay.
Buy a meat mallet.
Right. No, it's like weird how if you tell someone like, don't think this, this is bad, this is bad. And I do a bit about ending war, like USO tours. When you're over there, you feel tense from how like women are all covered up. You go online and you can't look at porn. It's like squid, like not even porn, just like a neck. Like a woman, just a woman's body.
You can't just look at a neck a normal way.
Just a normal, that, yeah, it's not about like seeing people banging. It's just seeing anything. And you just started getting really wound up. And you can just see how that leads to war.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was thinking about this the other day as far as like imagery and how it affects your opinions and shaping your brain, and especially your sexual brain. I remember being a kid and, you know, you and I grew up in a generation pre-cell phones. Maybe,
yeah.
I'm sure you had a computer. We didn't have a computer. But that whole technological generation sort of caught us on the tail end of our growing up.
Yeah.
So we had the luxury of playing in the street, if you will. I remember there being a website, Consumption Junction. Do you remember this website?
Uh-uh.
ConsumptionJunction.com was kind of like, it encapsulated all of the filth of the internet today on one site because there wasn't as much then.
Right.
And it was just basically this website that had every kind of video that you would never want your child to watch.
Whoa.
And I remember seeing these images. Like, I remember seeing someone getting shot right in the face.
Oh,
some
Jesus.
Guy's tongue getting cut off. Bang Bus was on that. Do you remember Bang Bus?
Bang Bus. I know Bang Bros.
Bangbus.com is a website where these guys are in a bus and they go and they pick up chicks, they bang them in the bus and they drop them off.
See, why you want to see them dropped off?
Well, that's,
like, that's what I mean. Like, why
like
do you need that?
That's the degrading of women. But what I'm saying is these images are burned into my brain. And there's no way that they haven't shaped how I view certain situations, how I view myself, how I deal with things. Like that, I really believe that imagery affects your mental growth and how you deal with situations.
100%.
Because I remember those things like it was yesterday, and
wow.
I haven't seen them since then.
It's almost like PTSD a little bit.
It is.
Like when your dog
totally.
Always snap. Like I have a dog that's like, and you have a dog, but yours aren't PTSD though. Yours are super chill.
Well,
Carlin's awesome.
Carlin's good, unless I pick up a broom and then he runs because he was like beaten.
Right.
But other than that, he's pretty good. Fozzie is a dick, but it is like that. I have that like reaction to it. But to me, that's like we're fucked because of everything that's on the internet right now. There's absolutely no censorship. It's a complete opposite end of the spectrum. And it's like, are we going to reset? Are our brains going to reset where we get overloaded and burn out and maybe start again? We can as a pull.
Do you think that now, because there's so much shit and it's so niche, that because I've never seen a decapitation or like I've never seen it. Like people talk about it on podcasts where they're like, did you see that video? I feel like now it's so accessible that you almost have to search. Like Consumption Junction, I feel like you're exposed to shit that now you'd have to search for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because now it's like you don't really, like, except for like the Silk Road or something that got shut down where you buy drugs or something. But it's like, I would, if you don't have the desire to search for it, it doesn't really pop up anymore. I don't know.
I guess not. I don't know. I think what my biggest worry is that just becoming desensitized to things. It's almost like we're literally turning into like a post-apocalyptic world.
Autism. You know how eating too much sugar can make you diabetic?
Yeah.
I think this shit makes people autistic.
There's something
because they don't make eye contact. I don't make eye contact sometimes. I've had to work on it, but it's because I'm an auditory learner where I like to look at white, like a white wall. And if someone speaks, I just picture what they're saying. I've always been a little like that because of piano or something. But younger kids, they don't look at you in the eye. There's like a fear of like eye to eye contact.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of autism.
Yeah. And you're probably right. There has to be some sort of link to having all of this information in the way we consume information. It's not like it was when we were kids. Now people are consuming information from their devices, not from people. And that really affects the way you think. And that affects the way you communicate. And I'm not saying it's one way bad or one way good. I just think it's we're in this like paradigm shift of.
And it's going so fast.
It's going so fast.
Because, you know, the curmudgeon, I can be a curmudgeon, like a huge curmudgeon.
Yeah.
And then I'll like realize that Plato is against writing. Like he was like, writing down stuff makes you not remember shit, you know?
He was?
Yeah. He didn't write anything.
That's pretty impressive.
It was all auditory.
That's impressive.
It is impressive. And then, you know, the printing press, like Gutenberg, like everyone was way against that. They're like, every book has to be handwritten. Like people got pissed. But now it's like going just so fast that the problem is we're looking up to children.
Yeah.
I think that it's an inverted pyramid where it's like, you know, all these companies and brands and networks are like, what does the 12-year-old have to say?
Yep.
And because they are smarter in all these ways, but they have no life experience.
Right. It's like if you can combine the adult and the child of today's generation, you could really have something special, because we come from that place of not needing or using technology for means of anything, really.
That's why I love Joe Rogan's podcast, because he's one of those people that is a man and it has experience, but he still has that wide-eyed child vibe.
Yeah, totally.
That's why I love his podcast, because he's like, no way, there's a black hole? And then he'll like just, he can beat someone to death if he wants to.
Yeah, he's the epitome of a man.
Yeah, he is. He's like man, but still has that childlike, like him and Duncan Trussell will just go off about like AI.
Yeah.
I was trying to tell this to someone the other day. It's the biggest thing to ever happen for gay black people was the show The Wire because of Omar.
Yeah.
Because like you can tell people all you want, like, don't hate gay people. And they're like, fuck that faggot, you know? And then you see Omar.
Who's an iconic.
Yeah. Omar is a gangster that just killed fucking everybody. He was like basically a libertarian in the show. Yeah. He didn't work for anyone. And he was outwardly gay, openly gay, had a boyfriend, not lisping, just gay. Yeah.
And a thug.
And that changed how everyone saw gay people in the inner city, where it was like, you can have as many after school specials as you want. You show them Omar and they're like, oh, that dude's hard. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's like, get
oh,
it's
it. Cool.
And that's what Rogan kind of did with education, where it's like, this dude likes weed. I like weed. This dude likes fighting. I fight. Oh, so what's a black hole?
Yeah, it's a conduit to something else that you're like afraid of or you never would have access to. It's like he's the glue between you and that other thing that you would never have been interested or attracted to in the first place.
He's like he's culturally bilingual.
Yeah, he's I think he's one of the smartest, sharpest comedians that we have right now.
100% agree.
Not even just comedians, but voices.
Yeah.
You know, I love information and I like to nerd out and all that stuff too. And that, you know, I just think it's interesting. The same thing that you're saying, like having somebody like that sort of is like the doorway to all this other cool shit that you may not have found on your own.
Yeah, it's almost like dude bro NPR.
Totally.
Because then I'll try and listen to NPR because I get really interested in topics and it's like it makes my skin crawl.
It makes me, it's like, I feel like they need alcohol over there.
Well, yeah. And it's also like, oh, do you have a speech impediment? Yeah. Okay, great. You're hired as a fucking host.
Yeah.
It's like,
do you take an hour to get a point out?
Oh, I know. It's like, so I was like thinking that it's like, so the lisp guy is the fucking host.
The lisp guy is running the show.
Yeah. And then you have, I mean, I'm not mocking any diseases or anything, but you have like people with like crippling throat problems.
Crippling
where it's like,
throat problems?
I interviewed, and you're like, why is that the host? How is that the fucking host?
You said, I'm not mocking diseases or anything, but you have people with crippling throat.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck it's called, like throatisms.
But I love that you're worried about offending people with throat issues. That's the, you know.
The Throat Association of America.
You're not worried about people with AIDS. You're worried about people who have dry mouth.
Yeah, no, it's people that aren't properly hydrated association. Because it's almost like they have to be victim-y to fucking be smart. And I don't like that. Where
yeah,
everything's like,
yes.
Did you hear about the guy? And of course I was offended. And I'm like, what? You fucking indoor cats.
Yeah. That's another thing. Like we even judge or we have an idea of what the person should look like who's giving us an educated lecture. Like you wouldn't, looking at Joe Rogan, you wouldn't think half the stuff that comes out of his mouth would, or that it should.
Well, I know the biggest underdog of intellectual shit is Callan. That dude's read more books than any of these fucking guys.
Callan's nuts.
Yeah, Callan, his Brian Callan, Fighter and the Kid's like huge and it's awesome and all that. But I love his podcast because it's him and this dude Hunter, and they have such a good dynamic because Hunter's kind of like, he has this like nerdy tone, and he's always like being like, Brian. Like, he's always like, oh, Brian, you know that, like, the marketplace can't dictate, you know? And they have this funny, almost like old married couple vibe where Brian's like, I'm telling you, man, the dollar will set a tone. And it's like, Brian, like, information says otherwise. And they'll read a book a fucking week, like a heavy, hardcore book, and interview the author. And you have all these, like, alt-y, nerdy guys that are like, well, we're smart comics. It's like smart comics are fucking Rogan and Callan and these guys.
Yeah, just like having information in your brain doesn't necessarily make you smart. It's how you let it out and how you sort of package it. That's the intelligence.
Oh my God.
And how you make it relatable.
That's the whole thing. Because it's like,
you can have stuff in your brain, but how are you gonna be the conduit to make somebody who doesn't have the access to it or doesn't necessarily know how to consume it, how are you going to make it so that they're able to consume it? That, to me, is intelligence.
That's intelligence.
To be able to, it's like your brain is a computer and you're adjusting the data so that it's legible to somebody else.
Right.
That's like, you know.
Or else you're just a computer.
Well, yeah, because I've had, you know, I have friends who are nerds and it's just like, I don't know what the hell you're saying. I don't know. You're speaking to me. You're speaking in Pig Latin. I have no idea what you're saying to me.
Oh, there's that one atheist is so bad at that. The most famous one, that British guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he incites people with emotional attacks. Like, he's like, you're all stupid. And it's like, no, that's not how you... That's happened with the Confederate, the flag.
Yeah.
Who the fuck isn't against taking down the Confederate flag on state buildings? It's obviously a fucked up thing. But people would be like... You're a bunch of dumb hicks, and that makes them like react the other way.
Yeah, and it's also that's not an intelligent statement.
Right, it's not.
It's just you're like, it's very plain. There's nothing there.
And it's poking buttons. It's poking the bear. It's
right.
Just being like, just make your argument and step down. Like, just be chill.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, the smart Kevin Hickerson, who's a close friend of mine that was on last week, the physicist, he's a good bridge because he's Caltech PhD, like borderline Asperger syndrome smart.
Can he communicate to people?
Yeah, but he actually can. That's a weird thing. But it's almost like out of Big Bang Theory sometimes. Like, they don't realize they're just being really honest, but they sound where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm one of the smartest people ever. Yeah, so...
Did you understand what he was saying? Like, that sort of stuff blows my mind. I love, like, physics. I love all of that, like, you know, when people start talking about astrology and the stars and universe and all that stuff. But that stuff, I feel like you really need to have a super understanding because it starts to really go to places where you don't even understand. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, just understanding black holes for
I still don't understand it.
It's like... I don't understand how those people can work and learn about that and not freak the fuck out.
Constant spirals. Do you ever listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History?
That needs to be your memoir, Constant Spirals.
Constant Spirals. Dan Carlin's Hardcore History?
No.
He'll do like 12 hours just on Genghis Khan, and he sounds a little like the Joker. He's like, and he came into the village, and he killed them all. And it's like, but he's so intriguing, and he's not stealing it from the Joker. I think that's how he fucking talks.
Does he have a podcast?
Yeah, he's one of the number one podcasts in the world.
I gotta check this out.
Oh my God, you're gonna freak out. And he'll just do like a topic that you never thought would be interesting, like the Reformation. He's like, and the people learned that Jesus was poor, and they're like, and they started consuming all the land, and you're like, what the fuck? Well, this is I've been pushing you for a while to do this, and I'm glad that we did, even though we're neighbors.
I can literally walk to your house. You can from your roof. You can see my pool,
and I do.
There's a serial killer coming out.
That's it. That was a serial killer.
It was so pure, you actually scared me a little.
Oh, it was... I do. Can you imagine if I just kept going with it? No, I legitimately do.
I've actually been in my pool and have looked up to your roof to see if you were there.
Serious?
I was there like 2 weeks ago with my friend Laura, and I was like, my friend Owen lives next door. And I was like, I looked up to see if you were up there.
I'm rarely on the roof.
Okay.
I really don't.
Yeah, okay.
I like because I always go
you
to Le Pan. I go to Le Pan Quotidien every day to eat breakfast.
Oh my God, you're such a fucking asshole.
I know, I'm such a boy with
your
apple.
Chihuahuas?
Oh yeah. It's like the Grand Budapest Hotel. I am boy with apple. But where are you going to be? Where are people going to... Are you touring right now? Or are you home, thankfully?
I'm home for a little bit. I mean, when is this coming out? I don't even know.
This week. It's pretty ASAP. I don't
Atlanta.
Edit anything, so all the mistakes will be heard that I made. Of me being like, what is this?
Yeah, don't keep
the mistakes. Is this a microphone?
I like the mistakes.
That's the whole point of this shit.
I always keep my mistakes.
That's another reason I love Rogan, is because any touring comic fucking hated how fake morning radio is.
Oh, it's the worst.
And they relish in podcasts. Like, now that I know what a podcast is, I don't even know what the fuck any of this was till there was an app on my phone. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's like morning radio is like, so I hear you got a massage the other day.
It's just it's a Jay Leno prompt.
It's the worst.
Comics Unleashed. So I heard you're allergic to gluten.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to talk about getting in at 12 o'clock and my hotel not being ready and somebody being late for half an hour for press.
And in their defense, they have 3 minutes, which I get, because they're just like, quickly, quickly, quick.
And they're afraid of, you know, them getting the emails.
The worst. But so you're going to be...
Atlanta. The last weekend of
Atlanta Improv?
August. Yeah, I think so. I don't even know what club.
Great club.
Just find wherever I'm at. Just find my name and Google Atlanta.
Yeah, you're a monster on social media.
Social media monster. Is a monster.
But the people need you all the time.
What
are you doing?
I mean, I only post things that I think are fun.
Well, you're really funny on it.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I think if for some reason it falls apart, you can always be an Uber driver.
Uber driver, no. Okay, yes, it's your sponsor. Yes.
Imagine if you call an Uber and it just has a picture of me and it just says one star killer. All right. Well, so you're awesome.
Thanks for
joining me. And I am in town for a bit. I'm doing, where the fuck am I? I'm in DC doing a one nighter at a center, like something that's way too big for me.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. I don't know what it's for because it sounds like huge.
Are you
and
just
I'm
doing
a club
a
guy.
One night? Yeah.
One night. Yeah. And then I'm doing, me and Steve Byrne are starting a room in Vegas.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, that's going
like
to be a blast.
I like that guy.
Steve Byrne's the best.
He's really sweet.
Like, he's so nice. I was just at his house. He's such a good dad.
Is he?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
it's, like, insane.
There's so many shitty dads out there. If you're a shitty dad, just fall over and hit your teeth on the curb.
I feel like being a dad's almost like being the president of the United States in the sense that, like, you have to work really hard to get the job, and then you just kind of got to disappear. Like, to be a good dad, you kind of just have to be like, hope. Change. That's
yes,
why Trump scares me, because he's fucking, it's not about him anymore.
I know.
Where it's like, when you're president, all you have to do is, you're like a shift manager at Applebee's. Like, you have no power.
You don't have any power, and you just have to hope that the people that are on your team are for some good. They're out for some decent things that have to do with the American people, not just themselves. But that never happens.
No, it's like being a dad. It's not about you anymore. It's like, as soon as you see that, when you see those dads with the little babies, they have that look of like, just give in, man. Just go. It's like drowning. Just the more you fight it, the more you're dead. No, but it's like in a good way. And then they're the happiest they've ever been. Like, Steve's literally like my family's the most important thing in my life.
Well, it gives you purpose.
Yeah. I mean, why else?
Especially for a man.
That's why I'm not going to name names, but you see some very successful dudes in their 40s spiraling with it, like, cause when they don't have families. They're like,
you need a man needs purpose, especially in this area, this era where we're not really at war. Men aren't at war the way that we were when we had
we're
to like,
task
conquer.
Oriented. We're task oriented.
You're task oriented, and you need something to conquer, and you need to have something where you can put your flag in.
Yeah,
and it might as well be your wife's asshole.
Yeah, because that's how you make them pregnant. That's how you make anal babies.
Anal babies. That's what I'm talking about. I feel like they really, really wouldn't mess up my body too much.
No, and they're like really, they're just really shitty kids.
Really shitty kids, and they just, you know, they're crappy.
They're like Bane. Remember? It's like, I crawl.
I'm looking for a Bane in my life.
You need a Bane.
I want a Bane, man.
I'm Bane-ish.
No,
I can
not.
Be your Bane friend.
You're more Danish than Bane-ish.
Am I Danish?
Yeah. I feel like you're definitely more Danish than Bane-ish. At least...
I can be dainty.
No, Bane, no, you know what he is. He wears his inside outside. You're Danish because they're like serial killers and you don't know it. Like, I don't know what you're thinking. Well,
the irony about me is I'm super obvious.
No, you're not.
I swear to God, I think I'm obvious. Where it's like,
I swear to God, I think I'm obvious.
See how obvious
second
that was?
Second memoir title.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't even know if I'm obvious, but I'll fucking say I don't know, which is an obvious move. It's like
I think you might wear some of your insides on the outside, but there's definitely some, you know, darkness is
oh, yeah,
in the dark.
Yeah.
But Bane,
that's where the
wears,
mold grows.
You know, he's got that mouth thing.
I was born in darkness. And he's just like,
oh, God, so hot.
Yeah, but he does. He is he's lying the whole time, though, because he really was. He was in love with that other. The whole thing was a secret. That's the irony about the wearing on the outside guys.
Because he had
like
the priests
and
secret.
Shit. Yeah.
Well, it's perfect.
So, but yeah, it's the biggest secret.
It's almost like more of a.
Well, listen, you're to the point where anything Bane does, it's a go.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just said you like that
type
he.
Of guy
right. He has the biggest secret, but he also has no secrets.
Yeah. That's all I need.
It's pure paradox.
Can we find that?
Yeah. And that's a great way to end another. I'd say this has been an amazing episode.
We talked about a lot.
Yeah, we did. And there was a lot of passion, friendship. There was a lot of, we still analyzed a joke, which is what some people are into about this. And we also chatted, which is what I'm really into that. And hopefully I will make that joke better for next time.
You will.
Yeah, spread the word about this this fucking thing.
That's great. Right,
cheers. Peace. Oh, and watch my burger show. It's on Esquire. Yeah, people dig it. I like it.
Who doesn't love burgers?
And who doesn't love tall people being dominant with fucking weirdos?
Oh, God, that's so hot.
Thanks. I'm like Bane. All right, later, guys. Peace. If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.